Well, Pastor John MacArthur is scheduled to be on the Line of Fire later with me this week. What questions would you like me to ask him?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I've done this a good number of times now, but it never ceases to amaze me. And it's wild. It's just really wild. I'm sitting here in a hotel room in Mumbai, India, 12:30 in the morning with my portable radio equipment. It's expensive equipment, of course, but my portable radio equipment, and with links from one part of the States to another part of the States, and then live, and we're in real time around the world. I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be with me. So if you're sitting in a traffic jam in Manhattan, if you're listening in an office building in Boston, if wherever you, I'd start going city after city, wherever you happen to be, welcome to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. This is, well, I've got one more day in India, but I'll be recording some special broadcasts for you as I'm traveling back. I think you'll be really edified. We got some great responses to the shows that I recorded while I was traveling last week. And the content, I hope, is going to enrich you, bless you, help you. And then I got word from the publicist for Pastor MacArthur's publisher with the Strange Fire book a few days ago that he was going to be doing some radio interviews. And there were a couple of options in terms of times, even though Thursday is normally Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, because I had the opportunity to have him on from 2 to 3. And they said, yeah, the whole hour from 2 to 3 in the afternoon Eastern Standard. So that's our first hour, this very same time as you're listening now. And wrote back, and our producer wrote back and said, okay, are you sure? They said, yep, consider it confirmed. So Pastor MacArthur is going to come on with me, God willing, this Thursday, the day after I get back from India, to discuss his Strange Fire book and conference with me. So here's my question for you. By all means, everyone listening to the show will hear the honor and respect that I have for him as an elder brother who's done so much good for the body over many, many years. I believe you'll hear that clearly. With that, and in that context, I really hope to ask some probing questions. I have profound differences with him and his Strange Fire book and Strange Fire conference, as you know. So I want to ask some probing questions. I want it to be as constructive as possible. He's not coming on to have a debate with me. I don't believe that's his intent. Hopefully we can debate issues, if not with him, then with other of his colleagues on issues about what the Bible says in terms of cessationism and so on. But I want to ask probing, penetrating questions that will really help get to the real issues so we can hear each other out and you, the listeners, can benefit by our conversation. But I also want to know if you could ask him a question regarding Strange Fire, regarding his rejection of the charismatic movement. If you could ask him a question, what question would you ask him? Now, you may have many, but try to boil it down to one primary one. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Give me a call today and let me know what questions you'd like me to ask Pastor MacArthur. I'll do my best to put these together with questions that I have, or if there are themes that keep coming up, we can really try to focus on those. 866-34-TRUTH. You also have the joy, and my joy on this end, of talking to me here in India. It's just, to me, a special and amazing experience to be able to do this together. I also have a few neat reports from India on the trip. It's so special. I mean, I wish I could bring everybody with me on one of these trips, but at least I can share things with you. So I've got some really neat, edifying, encouraging reports for you. And I'm going to share some more content from my Authentic Fire book with you. On the air today, the ebook should be available tomorrow, and the print book on its way to us tomorrow. Can you believe it?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, if you are not connected with me via email, if you don't get my e-blasts, which will announce availability of books, availability of free resources, articles posted, important developments with our ministry, please do so. Go to askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. And just click on the little icon for the emails. This way you can sign up. Of course, it's free, and we do not bombard you with fundraising appeals. We keep you posted on what's happening and let you know the things our ministry is doing that will edify and bless you. And if you follow me on Facebook, that's at Ask Dr. Brown, AskDrBrown on Facebook. You'll also see every day what's happening on a brand new basis, articles that are new. And we've got a bunch of pictures we posted from India. In fact, one of the special things I get to do every year is participate in baptisms. Some of these people have come to the Lord related to my ministry, but otherwise these are people coming to the Lord through the ministry we work with. And it's a joint celebration that if I'm there on a Sunday in particular, after the Sunday morning service, we do a water baptism. And boy, the pictures are wonderful. And whenever I'm doing them, I think, oh, if I could have this one there and that one there, just participate. I'll try to paint a picture of it for you a little later in the show. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown coming your way live from Mumbai, India, in the middle of the night here. And Pastor MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, is scheduled to be my guest this very time on Thursday, 2 to 3 Eastern Standard on Thursday. What questions would you like me to ask him about the Strange Fire Conference or his Strange Fire book or his rejection of the charismatic movement? And conversely, if you want to ask me a question, if you have a different take than me on this and want to question me, you get to ask me your question about the charismatic movement or about Strange Fire or my Authentic Fire book. By all means, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go right to the phones. Let's start in Newark, New Jersey, all the way from Mumbai to Newark. Moses, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, a pleasure. Always love being on.
Well, thanks, sir. Always great to have you.
Real quick, I don't know if it's not directly about the Strange Fire, but the two questions that I would want to ask John MacArthur is, what does he mean that a Christian can commit suicide and still be saved? And what does he mean about that a Christian can receive the mark of the beast in the tribulation and still be saved?
All right. You know, a lot of folks have asked me about comments that Pastor MacArthur made about these issues, some YouTube videos that have spread on this, and they've wanted me to ask. Now, here's the thing. It's a little bit off topic of Strange Fire, so I'm going to have to see how things go with that, sir, in terms of whether it's appropriate to ask that kind of question or not. But I do have friends, folks that I'm interacting with now that are part of Pastor MacArthur's ministry as a result of his conference. We've been interacting more regularly. If I'm unable to ask him on the air, perhaps we'll be able to pursue that with some of his folks directly off the air. But thank you, sir, for the call. Always nice to talk to Moses from Newark. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Before I get into some of the contents of my Authentic Fire book and take more of your calls, let me mention again that Authentic Fire is being printed today, about 420 pages, with contributions from Craig Keener, Sam Storms, one of my fire school colleagues, Steve Alt, and David Shibley, a missions statesman, and about 340 or 50 pages of content from me. Again, it's not tit for tat. He said this, I said this. It's not meant to be a rebuttal of Pastor MacArthur's book as a whole, but rather taking strong issue with certain parts and then replying in a positive way. In other words, even if you don't read his book, even if you haven't followed the conference, you'll find this book to be excellent on a standalone level as well. And it's written to build up, not to tear down. I want to make that clear. We all need each other. We're all part of the same body. And I'm going to be giving you some really good insights, I believe, about that as the broadcast goes on from one of the chapters in Authentic Fire, chapter 8, called Spirit and Truth, Right Brain and Left Brain. I think you'll find it very helpful. But back to India. Many of you know that I've had the privilege of naming three kids from the same family in India, Yesupadam's grandchildren, his son and daughter-in-law, Sunil and Kalpana. When they were first married, Kalpana got pregnant quickly. When pregnancy went on, they found out it was a girl, and she lost the baby at 7 months. So all miscarriages are rough, but to be so far along and to lose the baby, and it's your first baby, that's traumatic. And then couldn't have kids for a couple of years. I prayed for them. They were able to conceive after that, had a little boy. When I get to India, they said, "Uncle, what are you going to name the boy?" So they wanted me to name him, which sometimes they ask us to do in India, which is, you talk about something you take seriously. So really prayed, named him Daniel. And then without any problem, conceived again. Another boy, this one they told me in advance I was going to be naming him. And in advance, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, his name is Jonathan. And it stayed with me the whole time. His name is Jonathan. So when I get there, we have the service. There was another baby to name. I named that one Stephen. Again, pray over all these things because that's the child's name. And that's what the parents are going to be calling that kid. And prayed, felt clearly his name is Jonathan for the second one. And when I named him, Kalpana, the mom, started crying, and tears streaming down her cheeks. And I found out that she had prayed specifically because she wanted a similar to be a true friend. Daniel would have a true friend, and Jonathan was a true friend to David. And she preferred that name to David's name. She said, Lord, have him name the baby Jonathan. And when I said his name is Jonathan, she began to cry. And anyway, they had Daniel and Jonathan. And then several years go by now, and they're unable to have more kids. And was it 4 or 5 years? I'm with them last year. Something stirs in my heart to believe God. They're supposed to have a little girl. And I didn't know, or at least I didn't remember about the miscarriage with the first one. So I prayed with them. I said, I believe you're supposed to have another child. And I didn't tell the wife, but I felt they're going to have a girl. And I'm going to give the girl the name Nancy. Now, it's my wife's name. Trust me, it's the last thing in my mind I'd think of doing. And Nancy wouldn't want me to do it. But I get this thought. Well, then she tells her husband, I feel I'm going to have a girl. I feel we're going to have a girl. And uncle's going to name him Nancy. So anyway, she conceives. She has the baby. It's a girl. But we knew there was more to the name than that. So as I'm praying, I keep feeling her name is Priscilla. Her name is Priscilla. Her name is Priscilla. And I thought, do they even use that name? Is it still, I mean, it's a biblical name, but is it still used in India? And how will they feel about, her middle name would be Nancy, but how do they feel about that? And I'm telling you, I prayed and thought about that more than all the messages, all of the preaching that I did. And anyway, when I named the baby Priscilla, with fear and trepidation, to my delight, I found out that's the middle name of the mom, and it's especially significant because of the little one that she lost initially. So praise the Lord for his grace and kindness. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Honolulu from Mumbai, India to Honolulu, Hawaii. What question would you like me to ask Pastor MacArthur on Thursday?
Hi, Dr. Brown. The question that I had was, I was wondering how sensationalists, how they fight spiritual attacks if they don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today and or using the Holy Spirit in that fashion. Do they believe in spiritual attacks? How do they fight them?
All right. In what sense of is the devil or demons still active? Pastor MacArthur does not believe that we have authority over demons the way the apostles and early believers did. And I imagine his understanding would be that through the cross, Satan is somehow more decisively defeated. But, the fact is the devil doesn't think that he can attack in that way, and demons certainly keep attacking. And I've said to friends, here, tell you what, come over to Africa, come over to India, and let's go out to some rural regions and deal with some demonized people and see how sharp your sword is. So,
yes,
fair question. Very, very fair question. And I'll see if that can be incorporated in something that we do ask. Thank you so much for the input. God bless you, Ebony.
God bless you too, sir. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Let's go to Doug in Arlington, Virginia. What question would you like me to ask, sir?
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. My question is this. I am a cancer survivor. I had cancer 14 years ago, and medical science had something to do with it, but it could not explain the healing of the cancer, that there was miraculous healing involved also, and a set of circumstances that could not be explained by medical science. So that would be my question to Dr. MacArthur. How would he explain that?
And of course, Doug, first, thank God. Thank God for his mercy and goodness in your life. Of course, some cessationists say, yes, God does heal, but we can't expect that as the norm. What about a case like yours, right? Hopefully we'll be able to get to something like that as well. And thank God for his healing power at work in your life and others.
Fire we want, for fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire as we come your way live from Mumbai, India, approaching 10 to 1 in the morning here. Boy, it is really cool to speak to folks. I mean, it's awesome every day to speak to folks live around America. And sometimes calling in from other countries as they're able. But to be sitting here in India and to be doing this live, studio quality is a joy. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And thank you for praying. I have to say, I was in China for a week, and that was a lot of travel each direction, then 13-hour time differential and a rigorous schedule when there. And back home for a week and full schedule once I was home, then turn around, travel even longer, 40 hours one way to India, and then a good full schedule here, and then radio live several nights last week and now again on Monday. And I'm doing great. By God's grace, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm blessed, and I know a lot of that is because of prayer support. So thank you for that. Before I go back to the phones, in my Authentic Fire book, as I mentioned a moment ago, Chapter 8 is called Spirit and Truth, Right Brain and Left Brain. And what I wrote there is the more I interact with my cessationist brothers and sisters, the more I see that in many ways we're passing each other like ships in the night. And it has nothing to do with one side being committed to the Lord and the other not. Instead, it seems as if we sometimes have fundamentally different ways of looking at the same things. In other words, fundamentally different spiritual personalities. And even if every cessationist spoke in tongues or believed in prophecy or the gifts of the Spirit for today, and I believe these things are for us today, I'm quite sure of it scripturally confirmed as well experientially. But even so, I still recognize there are different spiritual personalities in the body. You know, there's the standard right brain, left brain paradigm. Some have challenged that somewhat. But basically, you can't put a creatively gifted, inspirationally motivated artist, put that person to work in a 9-to-5 job as a bookkeeper, tasked with checking and rechecking financial ledgers. I mean, it'd be torture for that person. It'd be a total disaster to hire a meticulous, bean-counting, precision-oriented administrator to develop the creative arts program at a university. So some people are totally analytical, others totally intuitive. Some people love to confront, others love to comfort. Some are didactic teachers, others motivational leaders. Some are born to invent, and others are born to research and record patents for inventions. Some are born to lead armies, others to care for the elderly. So, you know, we have the right brain, left brain background in terms of strengths and weaknesses in certain areas. But when I think about this within the body, I recognize the degree that we have different perspectives and different gifts, and that rather than just criticizing each other and say, how can you be so blind here? And so how can you be so wrong there? Why are you so dead? Why are you so fanatical? Why are you so judgmental? Why are you so gullible? That we could understand, oh, this is how you think. Oh, this is what makes you tick. Look, Jesus said God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. There's something to this, spirit and truth, both important. Jesus, that's John 4, of course. Jesus rebukes the Sadducees in Matthew 22, and he says, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Knowing both are important. Knowing the scriptures and knowing the power of God are important. Peter Lewis, writing the foreword to the classic volume by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, Joy Unspeakable, wrote this. This is 1984, he wrote. The past 20 years have seen the widespread growth of two radical and potentially mighty movements in Great Britain. These are the Reformed movement, meaning Calvinism, with its stress on doctrine, expository preaching, and total loyalty to Scripture, and the Charismatic movement, with its stress on the Holy Spirit's baptism and gifts, its strong sense of personal guidance, and its bold inventiveness in worship. The weakness of the Reformed churches have often been their traditionalism, their lack of evangelism, and their contentment with sound doctrine sincerely approved. The weaknesses of the Charismatics have tended to be their self-indulgent and sometimes uncritical enjoyment of experience, their lack of interest in doctrine, and the naivete in church polity. And Dr. Lloyd-Jones himself said the trouble has generally been that people have emphasized either experience or doctrine at the expense of the other. This is something that has been happening in the church almost from the very beginning. When the whole emphasis is placed upon one or the other, you have either a tendency to fanaticism and excess or a tendency toward a barren intellectualism and a mechanical and dead kind of orthodoxy. That's what I'm trying to point out in Authentic Fire, to say, let's bring these two sides together to help each other and grow and edify each other, and not just make up for one another's weaknesses, but help one another go deeper in our respective strengths. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Raphael in Manhattan. What would you like me to ask Pastor MacArthur?
Hello?
Yes. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. It's a great honor for me to be able to talk to you, and I've been a long-time listener. My first question is, I have two. What other Bible texts do they have besides 1 Corinthians 13:8 to support the teaching that they are, those gifts are no longer necessary for today's church?
You know, I do my best to not be critical of this and to try to present their point, but really there are no substantial texts. They would point to Hebrews 2 and say that it talks about God confirming his word with signs and miracles, and that's past as if it stopped. They would claim that Paul later in his ministry wasn't seeing as many people healed, that it was beginning to wane. But when you get to the end of the book of Acts, Acts 28, everyone on the island is healed. Through Paul, that's at the end of his ministry. That's making quite a statement there. And then, of course, you have Hebrews 10 pointing back to past persecution. Does that mean persecution ceased? So I don't find really any scriptures of serious merit that can support that position. Hey, Raphael, stay right there, sir, and thank you for your kind words. I want to continue to talk to you on the other side of the break. Hey, another reminder, all my friends listening on Wava FM, as long as you can get the signal, you can continue listening to the broadcast on Wava AM on the other side of this break. Otherwise, you can always catch it later online. All right, I am excited. I'm going to come back from India, God willing, and there will be the Authentic Fire book sitting there waiting for us to send out to you. The ebooks will be available any day. So just be checking, looking on Amazon or Barnes & Noble for Authentic Fire. Should be out any day. As soon as you get it, go for it. But the print copies are available only through our ministry. With postage, it's about a $25 value. All we're asking is be generous with a year-end gift to help us in our ministry work around the world, in America, and to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we'll send you the book. Be as generous as you can to help us. We want to send you the book as well. 1-800-278-9978. It's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Thank you for standing with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH, coming away live from Mumbai, India. We received word a few days ago from Pastor MacArthur's book publicist for Strange Fire that he'd be able to join me on the air this Thursday, this very hour, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Scheduled to get back from India Wednesday night. And we'll be fresh and ready for the interview on Thursday. And I know Thursday's normally thoroughly Jewish Thursday, but I think you'll agree that this is a good and fair time to make an exception to that, and my honor to have Pastor MacArthur on with us. Hopefully, there'll be no problems with that actually happening. So I'm asking if there are questions you'd like for me to ask him. Obviously, I have questions I want to ask. I want to give him the maximum time possible to respond. And if I'm hearing certain themes or key things, I'm going to be able to incorporate that into my questions and do my best to be a voice for you. Now, if you are really in agreement with my esteemed elder brother, John MacArthur, on his positions on Strange Fire and the charismatic movement, you differ with me, then the phone lines are also open for you to ask me your questions or to challenge me on different issues. I'm very, very happy to dialogue with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to Raphael in Manhattan. Thanks for holding through the break. Yeah, again, I don't want to deride the position of cessationists, but honestly, I don't see any scriptural support for the cessationist position. And interestingly, talking to the brother that we've worked with for 21 years now in India, he's in a leading Christian city, a lot of respected Christian activity in the city of Vishakhapatnam. And he said virtually all the leaders that he works with, even the Baptists, they all believe that the gifts of the Spirit for today, even if they don't themselves speak in tongues, they believe these things are for today. So it's really a minority view, particularly in the West, and especially with those who are trained in seminaries in the West. So when I've had cessationist call-in days, I really haven't gotten any calls, with all respect for my cessationist friends, that gave strong arguments for cessationism. And Pastor Tom Pennington gave a presentation on it at the Strange Fire Conference. And with all respect to Pastor Pennington, I felt his arguments were weak as well. But you had a follow-up question, so back to you, Raphael.
Yes. My other question was, is there any... I was having a discussion with my Dominican friend, and we were talking about Jesus before his incarnation, or before he became human, and we were discussing, is there any Bible text in the Old Testament that indicate that Jesus was sitting in the right hand of God before he became human? And when we go to heaven, are we going to see two images of God and Jesus and two thrones?
Okay.
How is it?
Great questions. Great questions. I'm going to just jump in. I want to stay on topic with the Pastor MacArthur interview, but to answer you quickly, Psalm 110 would indicate that the sitting at the right hand is after the death and resurrection of Jesus, that the Father says to him, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." So I see that as after his death and resurrection. I don't see any reference to it before. And, of course, texts like Acts 7 and then Jesus prophesying it in Mark 14 and then Hebrews 1 refer to that. As to seeing two images or one, the clearest text I can find that addresses that is the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Look at it carefully and look at what it says about thrones, And if you see two faces or one. All right? Take a careful look there. Back with your calls live from Mumbai, India, and some more reports from India as well.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, just a quick reminder for everyone, and Dwight, you can recheck with our callers. The questions for Pastor MacArthur have to do with strange fire, okay? Not general questions that you'd like to ask Pastor MacArthur. I'm telling you, the hour is going to go very, very quickly. I'll only be able to ask a small part of the questions I'd like to ask, especially if we go back and forth and interact on some. But our focus is not what would you like to ask Pastor MacArthur in general. So Dwight, just need you to go back to the callers and check. Rather, what would you like to ask Pastor MacArthur relative to the Strange Fire Conference, Strange Fire book, and his rejection of the charismatic movement? All right? Just a real quick note here about the ministry that we work with in India. While I'm in Mumbai, then I'm going to go back to your calls. It's extraordinary to see the vision they've had. For example, they have a school for children in the community, and then for orphans that stay in the children's home. And the majority come in, or a large number come in from Hindu background. But by the time they've been in the school for a few years, they get wonderfully saved and go on to become solid in the Lord. They have a nursing school. And the nursing school, the government just sends people to different schools. The way it works, you get accepted, and then they send some over here and some over here and some over here. So this is a government-approved nursing school. So a lot of the people that come to the nursing school, a lot of the women that come, are Hindus. But they, too, over the course of time, get wonderfully saved. They are looking to start. The government came to Yesupalam and said, we would like you to start an industrial training institute. In fact, they're raising funds to build it now. The government won't pay them to build it. But they will teach people things from IT training to physical therapy training to plumbing to welding, five different areas of training. And they'll get about 300 people per year. So by the third year, because it'll be a 2.5-year program, roughly they'll have like 900 students on their premises. They have property now. They have to build the buildings and everything. But most of the people come in unsaved, referred by the government, and they'll be able in that context. Now, it's self-supporting because there's tuition that's charged and the government grants scholarships and things like that, however it works for people that can't go on to college and so on. But in that context of genuinely 100% learning the trade and being trained with excellence, what they do with excellence. The people there then are exposed to the culture of the gospel. They're exposed to the beauty of Jesus. They're exposed to what it means to follow Jesus. And as a result, many will get saved through it. It's just amazing to see the impact they're having on so many lives. And here is a man who was an untouchable and then became a violent, alcoholic, Naxalite, Maoist communist, gloriously saved by Jesus. And it's just beautiful to see how the Lord changes lives and the quality of what he does. 866-348-7884. Pastor MacArthur is scheduled to be on the air with me on Thursday to discuss his Strange Fire book. I made it clear that I have profound differences, but will speak with respect, humility, and with a heart for unity. Let's go to Washington, D.C., from Mumbai to D.C. Rachel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks.
My question was, because I heard the lady ask, do he believe that we can do as Christians today miracles, signs, and wonders, and you know, walk in the power like the apostles did back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, he would certainly say that was for the apostles to establish the gospel and to establish the authority of Scripture, and it's no longer for today. Which would mean if these things are still happening regularly, he would have to deny that they're happening or say they're not from the Holy Spirit, because according to his theology, the answer is no.
Okay, what about in the Bible where it says, "Behold, I give you power and authority to trample over scorpions and demons and to cast out."
Yeah, I'll tell you what he would say, but then I'll tell you why I agree with you. Okay, Rachel. He would say, look at the context, Luke 10:19, that was to the 72 that Jesus sent out. Where does it say it's for all of us? I would say that the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, is clearly given to us by the Spirit. In other words, it's the same Spirit. We're given the same Spirit they were given. And according to the book of Acts, the second chapter, it's for the last days. That's the period from the death and resurrection of Jesus until the end of the age. And it includes gifts of prophecy. And then we see in Acts miracles and things like that. That's by the Spirit. We don't do it by our power, but by the Spirit. And it's to glorify Jesus. So I'm with you on that, Rachel, that those things are for us today to glorify the Lord and to advance the gospel. But of course, I'll do my best to probe those issues with him on the air.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I know that they're for the ones. I know it's for, you know, the glory of the Lord, and those are for the ones who have the Holy Spirit and who's walking in the power of God. But you know, the Bible does say that is for today as well, because he said, "I am the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow."
Yeah, and here's the other thing: if God healed people out of compassion through Jesus in the New Testament, and Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," doesn't that give us a glimpse of God's heart the same way? James, Jacob, the fifth chapter says the prayer offered in faith makes the sick person well. There should be the expectation that as we pray for the sick, we see healing. And the gifts of the Spirit, including gifts of healing, are for the common good. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13 indicates that they're to continue until we see God face to face. So I'm with you on that. And Rachel, let's pray for all of us to come into the fullness of God's Spirit, everything he has for us. That's my greatest desire, because I feel that there's so much more God has for us, for me, that we can take advantage of to glorify him. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Donald in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Michael. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Good. I want to ask you if John MacArthur brought up the what we used to call the Fort Lauderdale movement, the movement built around an alliance between Derek Prince and Bob Mumford and a number of other charismatic leaders that was centered in Fort Lauderdale back in the 70s. And
okay.
I want to know if either of you are familiar with this movement. They had wonderful ideas, but somehow the misinterpretations set in such a way as to lead to something like the disintegration of the movement. And I was there. I was a member of this fellowship.
Yep.
And it's the question of authoritarianism. In other words...
You know, it was like the whole discipleship movement and things like that. It became abusive. You had some fine people involved with it, some fine Bible teachers. However, they ended up with their particular theology is a bit of a mystery in terms of it being so off. But abusive authority, that absolutely did come out of it, Donald. I'm not sure, sir, that that's directly related to strange fire issues. But Matt, my faithful producer, will just check to see if there's any connection. To my knowledge, absolutely not. Those would be very different circles. But I'm glad you moved on from there. And, you know, sometimes we get burned, Donald, by a bad experience. And the key thing is to move on healthy afterwards. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Stephen in Montclair, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Good. Well, I just had a quick question. I have a few friends who are cessationalists. I guess I kind of lean that way, but I'm sort of undecided on it, I suppose. I heard a point earlier on the show about there really being only one reference to, I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, and I thought that's really intriguing that there would be only one verse that they would use. But I'm sort of curious about...
Let me just say this. It's a primary verse that's been used, but it's being used less and less. There's basically a recognition that it does not work, that it really doesn't apply. In fact, the opposite can be applied from it, that the gifts, tongues, prophecy will clearly continue until the end, until we see Jesus face to face. So it's been a very weak text. If you'll study the history of the interpretation, and I get into that in my Authentic Fire book, you study the history of the interpretation, you'll see it's a very minor interpretation and a relatively recent one. All right, Stephen, stay there. We'll get to your other question on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown, live from Mumbai, India. What time is it now? 1:20 in the morning. Got an hour and 10 minutes more of radio to do. And then I'll wind down and go to sleep, because it'll be the middle of the night here. My joy to be coming your way live, 866-34-TRUTH. Pastor John MacArthur has been confirmed as my guest from 2 to 3 this Thursday on the Line of Fire broadcast. Please do get the word out as we discuss his Strange Fire book. So pleased that he accepted the invitation to be on the air. And I want the show to be as constructive as possible in every way. If you have a question you'd like me to ask Pastor MacArthur relative to the Strange Fire controversy, then I'll do my best to incorporate key questions into questions that I am able to ask him as we interact. Or if you agree with him, I'd like to raise a question to me, same number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, Stephen in Montclair, New Jersey, back to you, sir.
Yeah, so my question is basically, I want to know how John MacArthur feels that prophecy functioned in the early church. And as part of that, I'd like to know how he thinks that the church would have transitioned away from prophecy and to just scripture, and how scripture could fulfill the things that prophecy was fulfilling in the early church. Because it seems like prophecy is very, I don't want to say, it seems more personal or something than scripture. And so how can scripture fulfill prophecy's role? Because that's what I've heard from most cessationalists, is that, you know, scripture comes and then replaces prophecy in tongues, and that there's no longer a need for these things. So I'm just curious about that, you know, how that happened early on.
Yeah, if I'm able to get to that, certainly that's a valid question. Of course, ultimately, some would say that the gift of prophecy continues through inspired preaching today. I would find that self-contradictory in that, number one, why then argue that prophecy has ceased if it continues in inspired preaching? And then number two, Paul clearly speaks about preaching and teaching in other contexts and seems to separate that from prophecy. I believe that next Monday's broadcast, a week from today, Stephen, you'll find to be really insightful. We're scheduled to have Dr. Sam Storms on with us, and he has an appendix in my Strange Fire book. It's from his blog, and he graciously allowed us to print it in the book. And what he does there is he goes through all of the cessationist arguments against prophecy. In other words, God can't speak prophetically today because that would be adding to Scripture, or that would be confusing revelation with Scripture, or somehow it would be in competition. So it's actually a related question. And if I'm not able to get to it in a substantive way with Pastor MacArthur, then when I'm on with Dr. Storms, it would be great if you called in and raised that as well, because he was on the other side of that issue and then became a charismatic based on Scripture. All right, let me get to at least one more call, 866-34-TRUTH. Mark in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Blessings, brother. I cast you on Marine Drive, and my regards to Yesu Padam. The question that I have is, does Dr. John MacArthur have anything positive to say about the movement, charismatic movement, whatsoever?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the issues, Mark, and I remember you being with us on our second trip here to India in 1994, if I'm correct, even though you're an Indian yourself, as you're coming from the city with us. But, Mark, that's obviously one of the issues I want to raise. I talked about it last week. I have a whole chapter. It's chapter 3 in my Authentic Fire book called A Great Big Blind Spot. And in that chapter, I take 4 of Pastor MacArthur's major statements. You know, where is the contribution to theology by charismatics or biblical interpretation? And where is the social social works of mercy and compassion and hospitals and those kind of things by charismatics? And where's the contribution of charismatics to worship? And if charismatics look more like Jesus, I take them more seriously. I address those things. And I said, I don't believe that Pastor MacArthur is knowingly denying the truth about this. I don't believe that about him. I therefore have to say he has a great big blind spot. And my hope is, if we can get him to see that, that as a man who loves the Lord and who loves the things of God, that he'll rejoice. That is my hope. But thank you, Mark, for the call. That's certainly something that I do want to ask. Let me take a minute and get back to my chapter 8 in my Strange Fire books called Spirit and Truth, Right Brain, Left Brain. And let me read to you again what Peter Lewis said in his foreword to D. Martin Lloyd-Jones' book, Joy Unspeakable, where he calls for a fresh baptism of the Spirit for believers, an experience subsequent to salvation. Remember that D. Martin Lloyd-Jones is one of the favorite authors from the last 50 years of Pastor MacArthur's. Peter Lewis in the foreword says this: both of these groups, Calvinists and Charismatics in England, he's writing in 84, have known considerable blessing in recent years, but both may well expect an element of divine rebuke to enter their life if they do not now begin to learn from one another. He said, already the charismatic movement is finding the Spirit withdrawing his blessings, and the devil sows his confusion wherever doctrine is despised and neglected. Correspondingly, in many places, the Reform movement is beginning to go stale. Its congregations, replete with sound doctrine but cramped in regard to experience and self-expression, are looking wistfully at less instructed but more often effective congregations down the road. In other words, they're looking at the charismatic congregations with more life. In both camps, he says, a sense of something more is beginning to rise up from the people. That's my contention. I could say, hey, everything's great here. I mean, we're fine. We're great. We've got all our needs met, and we're seeing the blessing of the Lord and the amazing ministries around the world, and we're seeing God's blessing and hand on them. In fact, right now, as I speak to you, meetings are about to take place in Cameroon, Africa, that could draw several hundred thousand people. One of our ministry school grads will be preaching. Another ministry school grad will be announcing our Fire School of Ministry to be launched in Cameroon starting in January. We're seeing great fruit. Ah, but I know without John MacArthur and Phil Johnson and others from the Strange Fire movement that something's missing in my life. And I'm sure that without me and others like me, something's missing in their lives. We do need each other. Get your copy of Authentic Fire. Be looking on Amazon, Barnes & Noble for the ebook beginning tomorrow. But here's how you can get a print copy. It's exclusively through our ministry. It's 420 pages with postage. It's about a $25 value. We're asking if you could be generous and help us with a year-end tax-deductible gift. I have no shame in asking for it. Not a dime of this goes in our pocket. It helps us with our world outreach and with our radio outreach and with our outreach to the Jewish people. Stand with us. If you find us worthy of your support, your year-end tax-deductible gift of any size, be as generous as you can. But everyone, take advantage of this offer. I want to send you as my gift to you, the Authentic Fire book. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on donate. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Jesus said God must be worshipped in spirit and truth. That tells me there's something of the spirit and something of the truth that go hand in hand together. Both are essential. Well, Pastor John MacArthur is scheduled to be on the Line of Fire later with me this week. What questions would you like me to ask him?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is 1:30 here in Mumbai, India. No, it's not 1:30 in the afternoon. It's 1:30 in the morning. About this time tomorrow, I should be the beginning of about 30 hours of journey home, several flights to get back home. We had our first flight getting us into Mumbai earlier today. I've got some special broadcasting planned for you that I think will be very rich and edifying that I'll be preparing tomorrow during the day as I'm traveling back. And then in the first hour, so the hour before this, on Thursday, I'm scheduled to have Pastor John MacArthur on the air with me. So if you don't get that in your city, you can go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown. It's askdrbrown.org, and listen live online. If you miss it, I'll be able to give you some of the highlights on the broadcast. So we'll keep you right in the thick of that. Talking about strange fires. So here's what we're going to do today. I just did it for an hour. I want to do it for one more hour. 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. What would you ask, like me, to ask John MacArthur when he's on the air with me? We heard from his publicist for his book, Strange Fire, that he had some windows where he could join me. We're able to take advantage of this. So even though Thursday is an only thoroughly Jewish Thursday, I feel it's very right to make an exception to have him on with me. I'm honored and blessed that he would accept the invitation to join me. He's not coming on to have a debate, a formal debate. He's coming on. And listen, let me just say this in appreciation. He's been around enough, done enough, been around long enough that he doesn't have to come on the radio. He doesn't have to come on someone else's show. So I do appreciate him doing that. And there's a certain trust you have because I'm a guest on other people's shows all the time. And many times I can't get a word in edgewise. And obviously we do our best to let people speak, try to interact constructively as much as possible, of course. But I really appreciate him doing that. And if he did receive the message from the publicist, I have profound differences, but will air them with respect and humility with a heart to unity. But if you could ask him a question, not just in general, not some other issue you differ with, but specifically regarding Strange Fire, the charismatic movement, the Strange Fire book conference, what would you like me to ask him? 866-348-7884. Also, if you agree with him and would like to ask me a question, would like to challenge me on a certain point or feel I'm wrong on a certain point or the way I'm approaching it, or just want to probe me, then you can ask me your question. How's that? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm also going to share some neat things from India that I think will bless you. And as it's my 21st trip here, and we've worked with precious, dear people doing amazing work from the gospel. I want to encourage you and edify you. So thank you for praying. And I want to share some really interesting quotes with you that are from my Authentic Fire book, my 420-page response to Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire. It's not a rebuttal of his book, but it's a response. And even if you haven't followed the conflict, my book will be a great standalone book for you to read. You'll find it edifying. You'll find it life-giving. You'll find it encouraging. My goal is to build up, not to tear down. As much as I correct what I feel is erroneous, there's a constant call to unity in Jesus. That book is being printed as I speak, ready to be shipped tomorrow. I expect it to be in our offices when I get back from India to send out to you. I'll tell you later how you can get it. But if you want the ebook, be it for your Amazon Kindle or for your Barnes & Noble Nook or for your iPad or other formats, should be available, I believe, tomorrow. So be looking, be ready to order your ebooks of Authentic Fire. Okay, I'm going to be back with your calls, back with some stories from India, and some neat quotes for you. Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. My joy, I said it in the first hour, let me repeat it. It's just amazing to me. I'm sitting here in a hotel room in the middle of the night in Mumbai, India, with our it's expensive little portable radio equipment, but the main unit, literally, I'm putting the palm of my hands on the bottom, the tip of my fingers reaches to the top of it. That's how small it is. Thick little unit, expensive little unit. We travel with it. I bring it in my carry-on luggage, as you could expect. And here we're doing studio quality broadcasts around the world in real time. It's sweet. It is sweet. Thanks for our team back in the States for their great work coordinating all this for us. 866-34-TRUTH. What would you like me to ask Pastor John MacArthur as he's scheduled to be on with me later in this week, Thursday, the first hour of our broadcast? Again, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, let me paint a picture for you, all right? One of the highlights of our trips to India is the water baptisms. Now, we've done them over the years in a lot of different settings. We've done them in the Bay of Bengal. Can't anymore. The waters have gotten too rough and dangerous. We've done them in the Bay of Bengal, and the waves rushing in, and the Indian folks just coming in their regular clothes, just fully clothed, and some old ladies that maybe haven't been in the water a lot, and you got to take them by the hand and lead them out. And sometimes the waves would come in and we didn't have to dunk them. I'm serious. We'd just be saying in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and their wave come over and they were baptized. We baptized people on our first trip in kind of a pond, and we had to wait for the water buffalo to come out. The owner of a bunch of water buffalo had them down in there, and he'd push their head under the water, and they go under for a second, come out, and he's just washing them off. We waited for them to come out and went down there and baptized people. And then we did it once at the place called the Place of 10 Million Gods, a very holy Hindu site. I mean holy in Hindu religion. I don't mean holy in God's sight. 10 million gods is not holy in God's sight. And you had the Hindu holy men there with a lot of them emaciated and just looked like a demonic glazed eye appearance. And we went down there. We worshiped Jesus there and exalted the Lord to do it in the midst of all the idolatry. And I remember going down that water. And it was just thick mud instantly sunk down into that. But here we do the baptisms on the property of Yesupana's ministry, Love and Care Ministries. And it's this grassy, dirty area. In fact, when I was preaching there, was it Saturday morning, cows came in the property and were grazing right by the little water baptismal pool, and they got shooed away. So we go down in that little pool. It's kind of a little dirty, dragonflies flying around. And it's just, you know, little pool. Walk down the steps, and there's room to baptize people. And we baptized 34 people. These are not converts through preaching I've done. Some might be, but the great bulk are just through their ministry. But it's kind of a highlight that we get to do these together while I'm there. And we posted pictures on Facebook. So go to my Ask Dr. Brown page to see these, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. But the pool is surrounded by people, especially the kids. And then the buildings behind us that the ministry owns, the people out on the balcony watching. And then the moment someone comes out of the water, someone's got a drum and they start playing and everyone starts singing one of these Telugu songs and celebrating. And then the next person comes in, and some of them are, you know, high caste Hindus whose families have turned against them. Others have gotten dramatically saved. There was one woman we baptized, an older woman who had been carried into a building as a Hindu about a week ago. Apparently from a stroke, they carried her and laid her down on the floor. That's how debilitated she was. When Jesus touched her and healed her, she realized he was the true and living God. She was baptized, actually walked in and out of the baptismal pool. It's just a beautiful sight to see. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Odenton, Maryland. Isaiah, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How's it going, Dr. Brown?
Doing very well, thank you.
My question for Dr. John MacArthur would be, if you were on an island without the knowledge of, you know, Calvinist seminaries, denominations, or the doctrines of men, could an honest Christian who only had the Bible read it and come to the viewpoint that the gifts of the Spirit has ceased, or would reading a Bible by itself without the intervention of men or their doctrines, would it lead you to believe that the gifts are still continuing? Because me personally, I believe just from Scripture, from God's Word, that the gifts are in continuation, and I don't see anything from Scripture to say otherwise. So I'm just seeing where, if you take the Bible by itself, how you can come to that viewpoint.
Yeah, Isaiah, of course, I'm totally with you on that. I agree 100%. Obviously, it's hard to read Scripture without some presuppositions or biases, you know, because of our background, our experience, where and how we were raised, our background in the Lord as well. And yet, I can testify to this, Isaiah. From the late 70s into the early 80s, as I was pursuing my PhD work and kind of ashamed of my Pentecostal heritage, I tried to deny that the gifts were for today. I actually bought some of the classic books then, B.B. Warfield's Counterfeit Miracles and Robert Gromacki's Modern Tongues Movement and some others. And I read I didn't read them necessarily cover to cover, but I read a lot of the relevant parts of them. And I just, when I came back to Scripture, it was just too clear. I thought, no. So even when I was trying to embrace this, this is just my own story, I couldn't based on Scripture. So again, honestly, I'm hearing from a lot of cessationists who say, I am a cessationist because of my experience. I had a bad experience in a Pentecostal church, or there was something flaky that happened in a charismatic church, or I prayed and didn't see certain things happen. So I reevaluate it, and now I'm a cessationist, but now I'm questioning it again. And when I debated Dr. Sam Waldron, my whole point was, and I have the longest chapter in my Authentic Fire book is called Sola Scriptura and Therefore Charismatic. And if I base my views on Scripture, and that's all I knew, how can you come to other conclusions? And the last witness in this is that many people who were led to the Lord by godly cessationist missionaries, people who were committed, people who paid a great price to take the gospel to the nations, once they got saved and started reading Scriptures for themselves, they became charismatic Pentecostal, and the Holy Spirit backed that. So if I can't press that point in our interview, and obviously he could say, hey, reading Scripture, I've come to a different conclusion. What I want to propose again is either him or someone respected from his camp. He's got a seminary. I'm sure he has some good profs there. Let's have a moderated, lengthy, face-to-face debate. I'll gladly go out to California to do it. Just on what the Scriptures say. Let's forget some flaky TV preacher. Let's forget some prayer that wasn't answered. And let's just say, based on Scripture, what do we conclude about the gifts of the Spirit? So hopefully, that's something I absolutely plan to propose during that, saying, look, I'm really keen to do this. We both believe in the Word. We love the Word. We give our lives for what Scripture says. So what does Scripture say?
Yes, definitely. Because I come from a Pentecostal background myself. And while there's some things I don't agree with fully, the Word of God makes it clear. And also, another question I want to ask him are just of great evangelists and missionaries like D.L. Moody, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, and other men who have been baptized in the Spirit and evangelized and brought many souls to Christ. What does he make of men like R.A. Torrey and so on? And not just looking at a denomination and what they're doing as a reason to reject gifts, but to see men of God in the power of the Spirit and authority of Scripture.
Yeah, and Isaiah, some of these, like Moody, for example, didn't advocate tongues, but they did clearly advocate a baptism of the Spirit, an empowering of the Spirit once someone was saved, and how essential that was. So, Isaiah, amen. Thank you for that. I'm with you on it. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe what you believe, positively or negatively, about the gifts of the Spirit being for today, based on your own study of the Word and your own walk with the Lord? Or do you believe these things, either way, based on just what you picked up being in church? Look, I have to be honest. Every so often someone will challenge me on something. To this day, you know, I got saved in 71. I don't mean that's forever. I'm just saying it's a good chunk of life. It's over 40 years. Someone will challenge me on something. And I'll say, no, it's thus and such. And then they'll challenge me. And I'll think, wait a second. Why do I believe that? It's normally some minor point, thankfully. But they'll challenge me, and I'll think, okay, wait, am I just repeating what I heard through the years? Or is there scriptural support for this? So why do you believe what you believe? In my authentic fire book, the longest chapter, I didn't know it'd go that long, but it's a pretty substantial chapter. Sola scriptura and therefore charismatic. I just asked some gentle questions. Let's look at scripture. Let's think it through, and let's see what it really says. And I'm convinced if we're devoted to Scripture that we'll embrace everything the Spirit has for today. Oh, I know my cessationist friends are devoted to Scripture. Don't get me wrong. I just believe if we follow it all the way through, we'll embrace the gifts of the Spirit for today. Back with your call. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. As I'm in the break here, interacting with some pastors and leaders in South Africa via email regarding an article I wrote, Nelson Mandela, Sinner or Saint, in light of the tremendous adulation coming his way with his death, others being critical, others being reserved to say, okay, which is it? How do we evaluate one of the most important leaders of our generation? You can read that, by the way. Just go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. While you're there, click on latest video. This is the first time we've done this, but it is basically a webcast. We had a camera on me the entire show when we did our cessationist call-in day number 2. So rather than just listening, you can watch the show. You can see what's happening there. I'm at my computer and doing the broadcast. And we're looking into the possibility of doing these more, doing these live. But we just wanted to give you an idea from one angle of what this could look like. 866-34-TRUTH. Pastor John MacArthur is scheduled to be on with me this coming Thursday, the first hour of the broadcast, so I'll be able to report on it during this second hour. You'll be able to catch the entire show through our website live online if you don't get it in your city. And looking forward to discussing with him issues surrounding the Strange Fire book and conference. What question would you like me to ask him? Anthony in Tampa, Florida. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire from Mumbai, India to Tampa, Florida.
Greetings, Dr. Brown. I appreciate you taking my call. From one who came out of the occult, I know certain manifestations that Satanists can conjure up, and being introduced into the Pentecostal church with emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I departed, and I don't totally agree with a lot of the things, especially the casting out of demons and the speaking in tongues. And I am a supporter of your ministry and also of Dr. MacArthur's. But my question is, can he totally discount a lot of the activities and of the Holy Spirit performing in third world countries, for example, in India and Middle East, with people seeing visions and being drawn to Christ through visions and dreams? Can he totally discount that as being a work of the Spirit? That's where I'm confused. Can we just totally throw everything out?
Yeah, Anthony. First, it blesses me that you support both of us. That really blesses me, and that you find value in our different perspectives and recognize that we're on the same team and fighting for the same larger causes. Pastor MacArthur would basically either say a lot of the reports are bogus, or you have to test the Spirit by the results. And he would claim that the people being touched are touched through a false message or prosperity gospel message. And he would claim that it's producing selfishness and self-centeredness and sexual sin and all this. Well, that's frankly not true. With all respect to Pastor MacArthur, it's not true. For example, the city I'm in Mumbai right now, but I was in Vishakhapatnam, India, which is a leading city in the state of Andhra Pradesh. and considered to be a respected Christian city in India. And Yesu Padon, the brother I work with, recently called together 100-plus leaders, some of the key leaders of the city, to talk about some Indian TV preachers who are advocating a carnal prosperity message, and to talk about the importance of standing against it. And together, they all rejected this message and said they've been concerned about it. And when one particular brother, one of these TV preachers, said, "We want to come to your city. I want to come to your city and want you to support me," they said, "No, we will not support you." And I've seen the fruit of the lives here. I've worked with the people since 1993. That's a long time. I've seen the churches they've planted. I've seen the tears they've shed for the lost. I've seen the purity of the gospel that they preached. And I've seen how the power of God has backed them, and how captives have been set free and sick healed. It's not their primary emphasis. Their primary emphasis is to make disciples, but because the Holy Spirit is at work, God moves in supernatural power and touches lives. And as you mentioned, the Middle East or Muslims, one of my most solid missionary friends, down-to-earth guy, not one of these to hoot and holler and run around a building, he's been working now with Muslims who've gotten saved in the last few years. And he's shocked. I mean, he's a seasoned missionary, 40 years on the mission field, Anthony. He's seen it all. And he's shocked. He's telling me story after story of miraculous conversions, Jesus appearing in dreams and visions. And I'll give you one example. A Muslim guy was training to be a terrorist in Gaza, a suicide bomber. He had made his vest. He was ready to go on a suicide mission. He had a dream. Jesus appeared to him in a dream, told him he was the way, the truth, and the life, and so on. He went to his Muslim leader, and the Muslim leader said, "Ignore it. It's the devil trying to deceive you." He had a dream again. He came back. The Muslim leader said, "Look, you have been appointed by Allah for a mission, and it is Satan himself who's trying to deceive you." And he said, "But I feel peace. I feel something I've never felt." Well, he had a dream four times. He finally got so confused and upset, he said, "Okay, if Jesus is true, then I'm going to pull this vest or press the button, whatever it was, and detonate. And if he's true, nothing's going to happen." He presses the button. Nothing happens. He says to himself, Obviously, I didn't wire the thing properly. So he goes back and he rewires everything and goes to blow himself up again. Tries three times. When it doesn't work, he realizes Allah is not real. Islam is not real. This is Jesus who's appearing to me and has been speaking to me. And he laid down his terrorism, and now he's preaching Jesus all over Italy as there are many Muslims coming in. He's been beaten for the gospel. He goes, sleeps at the train station with them where they're living homeless, and shares the gospel. It's hard to deny that that's the Holy Spirit doing that, and hopefully I can raise that issue. Thank you for the call. One of the chapters that I really enjoyed writing in the Strange Fire book, chapter 8, is called Spirit and Truth, Right Brain, Left Brain. And as you read it, you'll go, oh, that's why charismatics think that. Ah, that's why cessationists. Oh, so your strength is my weakness and my strength is your weakness. Ah, I think it'd be one of those eye-opener, aha-type chapters in the book. It should be available. The ebooks on Amazon, Barnes & Noble should be by tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday at the very latest. So be checking on that. But if you want the print copy, 420 pages, with postage, it's a $25 value. We're asking for your tax-deductible year-end gift. Stand with us. Here we are on the front lines in India, literally in India as I speak to you now. We're front lines of Jewish ministry around the world and, of course, across America and in other nations, and on the radio 2 hours every day live coming your way. So would you stand with us and support us? Your generous tax-deductible gift will be such a blessing to us at the end of the year. But your gift of any size whatsoever, I'm going to send you as my thank you gift a copy of Authentic Fire. So call now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate, and we'll send you the book. All right, back with a whole lot more. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast as I come your way at 2 in the morning from Mumbai, India. My last night live in India, boy, we had some beautiful ministry through the weekend. And even a free day in India. I don't remember the last time I had that in Vishakhapatnam. We actually took a walk by the Bay of Bengal, the waves pouring in. It was nighttime and the wind blowing. It was just mild weather. And I was praying as the wind was blowing, God, make me a man of your spirit. As your wind's blowing on me, make me a man of your spirit. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Pastor John MacArthur, through his publicist, has agreed to come on the air with me 2 to 3 Eastern Standard Time on Thursday's broadcast. I'm scheduled to get back from India Wednesday night, about 30-something hours of travel. In fact, at this very hour tomorrow, I should be en route with a specially recorded broadcast that I think will really bless you and edify you. So make sure you tune in tomorrow and Wednesday as well, of course. And Wednesday night should be back home. And then Thursday, looking forward to a live broadcast with Pastor MacArthur. And you say, I don't get that. I get the second hour. No problemo, as they say. First, what you can do is you can tune in live on the internet if you'd like to listen to the show live. And you do that by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And you can just listen live to the show. Or later in the day, you can catch the archives. But I'll be giving you updates and highlights, so you'll be getting the best of both worlds. Is there something you'd like me to ask Pastor MacArthur? I've been praying and thinking about this already in the midst of everything else we've been doing. What would be questions to ask that would really trigger good, healthy discussion? What's the use of just arguing with each other? You know what I'm saying? And I respect Pastor MacArthur too much to do that. I want to do my best to do it. And I certainly don't think he's coming on the air to argue with me. But what constructive conversation could we have that would really move the discussion further? If you could ask him a question, something that's important to you, if you could ask him a question, what would you ask him? You say, well, I'm not able to. I'm not doing the show. Ah, but I am. So share your question with me. In fact, let me go to the phones right now. Let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah with Miguel. Thank you, Miguel, for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, good morning, brother. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Very good. Hey, my question is this, okay? And I do respect John MacArthur immensely. He's a great teacher, but my question is, does God, does he give people today the ability to heal anyone at any time at will? Do they have that gift to where they can just walk into a hospital and say, take up your bed and walk, or, you know, or get up and walk, you're healed, or touch someone's eyes and they can see? Does someone have that ability? Now, I know that God can heal today, and I've seen miracles, and I've prayed for people who should have been dead. And now I don't believe I have that blessing or that gift to just whoever, but I have seen God heal people. My question is, does he give a specific person that ability to heal anytime, any place?
Yeah, Pastor MacArthur would certainly say absolutely not. But let me say this. The gifts of the Spirit are given at the Spirit's will, not ours. So I don't believe that the gift of healing was ever at our will. In other words, Pastor MacArthur may say that the apostolic gift of healing, they could heal anyone at their will. He may say that. I certainly don't. I don't believe that the gift of healing ever meant that we could go and heal everyone all the time at our will. It's still as the Spirit wills. But because these gifts were given powerfully, there would be profusions of healing. And God does still do that today, although Pastor MacArthur is different. Thank you for the call.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the broadcast, friends. My last night live from India. This time we are in Mumbai, India. Got up with our team this morning, went to the airport, had our final goodbyes with our precious friends here, and then headed over to Mumbai, checked into a hotel because the flights leave very early morning, so you basically spend the day in Mumbai, formerly called Bombay, and then fly out early morning. So our team left early this, well, they're on their way now. I've got one more day before I head back. So thank you for praying. It's been a blessed trip. It's just so precious in so, so many ways. And I'm going to tell you an interesting story about India in a moment, all right? I think you'll find it interesting, fascinating for me. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm scheduled to have Pastor MacArthur on later this week to talk about strange fire. What would you like me to ask him? What question would you like me to ask him? Or if you really agree with him in the Strange Fire Conference, what question would you like to ask me? My book, Authentic Fire, which is being printed or has already been printed today, exclusively for our ministry and being shipped tomorrow. So I look forward to getting my hands on it this week and sending them right out to you immediately. So we have plenty of time for the holidays, those that want to use them as holiday gifts, Christmas gifts. Hanukkah's already passed. We'll be getting those out. The e-books should be available on all different platforms, hopefully as of tomorrow. So just be checking. Of course, we'll be posting on Facebook and emailing you to let you know about that. But in my chapter, Spirit and Truth, Right Brain, Left Brain, Chapter 8 in the Authentic Fire book, I talk about if you look at cessationists and you look at charismatics, one group emphasizes heart, which on the positive side leads to passion, and on the negative side leads to emotionalism. The other group emphasizes head, which on the positive side leads to sobriety, and on the negative side leads to rationalism. So the cessationists look at the charismatics and say, how can you be so crazy? The charismatics look at the cessationists and say, how can you be so cold? So this reminds me of an account I read from Daniel Rowlands, Welsh revivalist, who was replying to the criticism of John Thornton of England in the early 1760s. And Rowlands said this, "You English blame us, the Welsh, and speak against us and say, jumpers, jumpers," because obviously they get so excited, they jumped up and down. He said, "But we, the Welsh, have something also to allege against you, and we most justly say of you, sleepers, sleepers." Now look, I am passionate. I love the Lord. I love to worship him with everything in me. I do speak in tongues. I do believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit as being normative for today. But I love to study. I have an intellectual approach to things as well. By the way, I do not mean that I'm perfectly balanced. I do not mean that for a split second. I'm simply saying that for me, both heart and head are very important. And we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind. I recognize, though, that we're wired differently and different parts of the body have strengths and weaknesses. And if we could get together more deeply and rather than talk past each other or talk against each other, learn from each other, just think of what could happen through that. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's talk to George. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you doing in India?
I'm blessed, man. Thank you. It's been a great, great week.
Yeah, well, that's good. I've really enjoyed listening to your broadcast, and just want to tell you thank you and praise God for you in your book, in response to the Strange Fire Conference. My question that I would like to ask Dr. MacArthur would be, why does he believe that the gifts of the Spirit, as far as namely healing, is not so much for today? Being a ordained Southern Baptist minister and, you know, having been raised up in the Baptist church. And, but came to the word of faith, because it was always a longing. There was something more that I knew that, you know, it had to be. And I know you're short for time, but I just wanted to say this. And I came to the word of faith during some of the people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price. Matter of fact, I was reading Dr. Fred Price's book, Main Ingredient, that I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and Charles Capps and some of the others. And about 12 years ago, my wife fell in the yard and had the wind knocked out of her. And so, but 2 weeks later, she was still having problems breathing. Well, went to the doctor, and they diagnosed she had cancer of the liver, lungs, and kidney.
No.
And so, you know, and through, and I know people say that, you know, Brother Copeland and Brother Hagin and some of the things that they say or whatever, but I subscribe to something my mother used to always say. She said, chew the meat and spit out the bones.
Mm-hmm.
And so during their ministry, we learned how to discern the voice of the Lord and how to stand on the word of the living God, the promises of God. And my wife heard the voice of the Lord and said, you're not to do chemo. Well, you know, we didn't find out until later. Chemo wouldn't have done any good anyway. But we were standing on the word, and every night my wife would struggle breathing and everything. And one Sunday we were in worship, and she was struggling to breathe, but she had her hands lifted up, and she was worshiping God. And Dr. Brown, the only thing I can describe, it was like some type of energy was on the other side of the room, and it went around. We were in a little house church, and it went around the room, and it knocked my wife down, and I immediately rushed, you know, wanted to rush to her aid, but I heard the Spirit of the Lord said, no, leave her alone. It's me. And to make a long story short, that week she had a doctor's appointment. We went to the doctor, and the lab technician met us, and he said, I don't know why, but the doctor has requested more x-rays. He said, we have plenty of x-rays of you and everything or whatever. Make a long story short, they went to 3 x-ray machines. They thought the other two was broke. And the guy said, I don't understand this, but my wife was totally healed.
Mm-hmm.
Totally healed. And by standing on the word of the living God, by believing what God said, you know, in Isaiah, you know, and standing on the promises of God, one of her favorite scriptures was Matthew, I think it's Matthew 15, which says, every plant that the Father has not planted shall be rooted up.
Mm.
And so I can't.
Yeah, George, let me just ask you again, where was the cancer found?
The cancer was found in her. It was in her liver, it was in her lungs, and it was in her kidney.
All right, and what did the doctors tell you as a prognosis? Because as far as I would know, that's basically a death sentence.
The doctors told us that she had no longer. She would probably be dead within 6 months.
All right, and how long ago was that?
This was about 11 years ago.
Right, and Jesus healed her. You know, George, first, I'm thrilled. And that's your wife. You're thrilled all the more. But I'm thrilled by what Jesus did, what the Spirit did. And see, you raised something very important. When I did my show on Word of Faith, I made clear that I know many born-again believers who believe the basic gospel message, who are Word of Faith, and who may have certain emphases I differ with. And then there are some extremes that I find to be very, very dangerous and destructive. But without question, there are many who, and I'll get, you know, ridiculed for saying this, but I know them personally that hold to a mainstream gospel and who say, look, God said it and we're going to hold on to it. We're going to confess it. And I don't just look at this as God's sovereign choice, that he just sovereignly said, I'm going to heal George's wife and let others die. I believe that there are things that come when we do take hold of his word. I'm not going to condemn someone else. I'm not going to say, well, you didn't have enough faith. I'm simply saying that we do know that there are things that we have to take hold of. And we have to take hold of the word no matter what we feel and what we experience and what our eyes see and what our body tells us and say, God, I believe you're true. We walk by faith, not by sight. And here's an example of someone I can't imagine what it would be like to go through that when you have that death sentence and your body's telling you you're dying and the doctors know there's nothing they could do, and you put your trust in the Lord and he comes through. But that's...
But you know, the icing on the cake was that my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter at that time, she was suffering from epilepsy, epileptic seizures, and she was on medication. And so when my wife got healed, my 7-year-old daughter came to me and she said, "Daddy," she said, "God is going to heal me like he did mommy." And I said,
tell you what, we got to go, but I just want to hear the end of this. We'll have to be real quick, though, because we got short on time. We come back, but I got to hear the rest of this.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. My last few minutes coming away live from India, back to George and Charlotte. Okay, so 11 years ago, your wife is miraculously healed of cancer that was in her kidneys and liver and other places in her body, 6 months to live. God instantly, miraculously heals her after she tenaciously holds to the word and God's promises. Then your daughter was how old, George? 6 years old?
She was 7 years old.
Seven.
And it was funny, Dr. Brown, that because, like I said, we had a house church and we would take the services. My daughter, and I thought it, well, not thought it strange, but she would always, at the end of the service, she would always ask for a cassette tape of me preaching. And she would sometimes go to sleep listening to those. And I said, you know, I said, this child is really, you know, into the word. But like I said, after my wife was healed and my daughter had, she would have epileptic seizures. She had to take four pills four times a day. But the pills were still not working because she would still have the epileptic seizures. And so,
and how long had she been having them, George?
She had been, at that point, she had been having them probably about maybe 2 years.
Okay.
And
that's
so
rough
they had
to see your child go through that. Yeah. All right, so
yeah,
she comes to you and she says, all right, mommy's been healed. And then?
She told me, she said, Daddy, she said, I believe that the Lord will heal me. She said, I'm not going to have to take this medication for the rest of my life. She said, I believe that God is going to heal me like he healed mommy. And I told her, I said, baby, I said, all things are possible to you believe. I said, if you believe, I said, and I'll touch and agree with you. Well, 1 year later, at the same place in the service, at the same location in the room, the same thing happened to her, and it was so funny because God so worked it because she had a doctor's appointment that week. And so we went to the doctor, and we told the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I don't believe that. And I said, well, it's immaterial to whether you believe it or not. I said, we believe it. And Dr. Brown, my daughter has not had a seizure since then. My daughter is almost 20 years old, and that week, her being healed by, and no one laid hands on her. It was just her standing on the word, that her 7-year-old understanding that word, the word of the living God being poured into her by listening to those cassette tapes. That was what, you know, because the word, but the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of the living God. And we have seen many people healed by feeding on the word of the living God, by standing on the word, by in praise and worship. And I find it, like I said, you know, being an ordained Southern Baptist minister, I find it hard to believe why people, and God bless Dr. MacArthur, I'm not saying anything bad against him or whatever, but how can you, you know, not go with the evidence of what the word is saying? You
yeah,
know,
and George, lie. First, I've just gotta jump in. Of course, I rejoice with you, and that's your wife, and that's your daughter, and that's amazing to hear what the Spirit did. And obviously, the Word of God is true. The Word of God bears much fruit, And many of us don't really focus on the word and meditate on it, which is to repeat it, recite it, keep it on our hearts, keep it on our minds, keep it before us. As much as you may differ, and I may differ with aspects of Word of Faith teaching, the fact of the matter is there's an emphasis on confessing the word. Now, sometimes it can be in the realm of non-reality, but there's an emphasis on confessing the word, and that means getting it in front of us, getting it in our heart, getting it in our mind. It's amazing to see what God does when we do that. Of course, cessationists would say, we have no problem with the idea that God can heal if he chooses to, but you would say, no, it was more than that. It was people believing what he promised. And, of course, I appreciate Pastor MacArthur calling attention to extremes and fringe things in the charismatic movement. Unfortunately, he paints the whole movement together in that way. But thank you, sir, for that call. And that encourages me, as I pray for others who are sick, that encourages me to hear that maybe one day we'll meet up in Charlotte, North Carolina. All right, let's go to Jim, also in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Good afternoon, Mr. Brown. I had a quick question for you, sir. Well, something I would ask MacArthur is, I'm a Baptist. I'm not really a Southern Baptist. I'm just a Baptist. And our church is a small church, but the Spirit moves in there quite a bit to where some of the people that really doesn't care to get up and jump and, you know, shout that much, they do sit there, raise their hands, shout hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know. And then there's times when the Spirit moves so strongly that, you know, you've got to get up. You just can't sit still. You have to get up and shout, and there's some that will dance and some that will run. And these people are not, you know, anything that you would expect them to do. But my question to Mr. MacArthur would be, where do you draw the line? Where does it stop being the Holy Spirit and become charismatic? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, right. Obviously, what he's rejecting, he puts in the category of charismatic. But charismatic, of course, is not referring to a specific form. In other words, shouting or not shouting, raising hands or not raising hands, as much as a doctrine that the sign gifts of the New Testament, prophecy, healing, tongues that were normative then are normative today. And Jim, really the point we agree on, all of us, is what does the Word say? What does the Word say about this? What does Scripture speak? And thank you for the call, and hopefully we'll be able to probe these issues with our brother on Thursday. Again, that's scheduled to be the first hour. This is the second hour now, which means to listen to it live, you'll need to listen to it online. That's at AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. Or you'll just be able to catch it later that day, but I'll be giving you highlights from the interview. That'll be the plan during the show in the second hour. Friends, out of time, can't take any more calls right now. But in my Authentic Fire book, the longest chapter in the book is called Sola Scriptura and Therefore Charismatic, where I go through the scriptures in the New Testament and explain why we're confident that these gifts continue for today and raise gentle but loving questions along the way. The book is being printed today, probably printed already, being shipped tomorrow, then we'll have it to ship out to you immediately. The print version only available through our ministry. The ebook should be available as early as tomorrow on Amazon and Barnes & Noble for iPad, etc. But to get the print copy, we're just asking if you could stand with us, your generous year-end tax-deductible gift. We really appreciate it. It's so meaningful at this time of the year. And I want to send you as my gift the Authentic Fire book, 420 pages with postage, a $25 value. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. My bottom line today, when Jesus is healing the sick and pouring out his Spirit and working miraculous gifts, shouldn't we be rejoicing?